Good afternoon. I'm Father Lenny Anderson from St. Francis in the Fields Episcopal Church in Somerset, Pennsylvania. Since Somerset Area Ministries canceled the noon Lenten service for today, I thought it might be fun to record the scripture and message I plan to do anyhow. Somerset Area Ministries, better known as SAM, is an ecumenical gathering of over two dozen congregations in the Somerset area. SAM members include pastors and staff of churches and service organizations from various denominations and faith traditions. Pastors and laity are active in a variety of ministries that help to feed the hungry, provide housing for the homeless, and hope for those in need. The ecumenical spirit of SAM has united various churches and community organizations for the common purpose of answering Jesus' call to serve the least of these. Since we can't pass the plate today, I encourage you to mail your donation this week to Somerset Area Ministries, P.O. Box 972, 320 Felgar Road, that's F-E-L-G-A-R, in Somerset, Pennsylvania, 15501. Again, that's Somerset Area Ministries, P.O. Box 972, 320 Felgar Road, Somerset, PA, 15501. A reading from Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By keeping to your words. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not stray from your commandments. I treasure your promise in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Instruct me in your statutes. With my lips will I recite all the judgments of your mouth. I have taken greater delight in the ways of your decrees than in all manner of riches. I will meditate on your commandments and give my attention to your ways. My delight is in your statutes. I will not forget your word. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One day a pastor went over to visit one of his flock at the time that they had previously scheduled, and he knocked and rang the doorbell and called on his cell phone. No answer. He even circled around the back to the garden and yelled up to an open window to no avail. So he left his business card and jotted down the reference, Revelation 3:20. On the back, the famous "Behold, I stand at the door and knock" passage. Later that day, he got back to the office to find that there was a message that was given by a secretary from the phone message with the reference Genesis 3:10 written on the message, which is, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." I suppose it's good that they both knew the Bible. What do you hold to be most valuable? What is of greatest worth to you? For many of us, it's our family, our parents, our children, our husbands and wives. For many of us, it's our country, the land of the free and the home of the brave. For many of us, it's what we earn by the sweat of our brow, the home we renovated, the nest egg we scrupulously saved for, the classic car we restored, or the quilt we spent months working on. These can be wonderful things to treasure in their proper place. But the psalmist in Psalm 119 reminds his young listeners of the chief thing he hopes they will value above all else: God's word. Psalm 119 is an acrostic poem meant to teach the alphabet to school-age children while promoting a passion for Holy Scripture. Like the old Puritan hornbooks of colonial times, this psalm was meant to instill a love for God's Word right as young minds were first learning how to read. Our passage today covers an 8-verse stanza for the Hebrew equivalent of the letter B. Your Bible might even say Beth as a subheading, and that's not a girl's name or a song by the rock band Kiss. It's a Hebrew letter, Beth. And each verse of this stanza begins with a B sound in Hebrew. Unfortunately, that's hard to reproduce in English translation, so we typically don't try to mimic it in our translations into English. Yet those repeated consonant sounds did for the Hebrew-speaking children what rhyme often does for us English speakers. It makes what we read stick in our brains. The psalmist wanted to drive home not merely letters, but how wonderful it is to have God's own communication guide our lives. The words of Holy Scripture purify the way we live. They guard us. They keep us from wandering and sinning. Also, if we remember how Christ summarized the law by instructing us to love God and love our neighbor, we can say the commandments of God teach us how to love. That's why the psalmist calls them his delight. He loves God, and if God's word teaches him how to love, that means he can love God better. He doesn't want either himself or one of his students to disappoint God, to be stifled in showing affection for our Lord. Yes, affection, not just belief, not just obedience, but genuine, heartfelt kinship and relationship with God. The pages of Holy Writ are meant to spur that kind of fervent love in us. So why not diligently learn the Bible? The psalmist wants his readers to store up, hide, and keep watch over God's very words in their hearts like valuable treasure. We store up his words by learning them, by declaring them out loud, by meditating on them. We should each be committed to regular Bible reading and study, not just the books or snippets that we like or make us feel good. We should cultivate a regular spiritual habit of reading through God's Word cover to cover. I remember a chapel service in college in which the preacher remarked that so many people who call themselves Christians have never read the whole Bible. Well, I was cut to the quick. And that year, plus some additional weeks afterwards, I read through the whole Bible. And I wasn't any worse for the wear. But in all seriousness, it stoked the embers in me of a nascent desire to better understand and live according to Scripture. But just reading in a perfunctory or duty-based way isn't enough. I have deep respect for those who have memorized verses of Scripture, and I'm even more amazed when people recall extended passages, even whole books of the Bible. But I am most impressed whenever I see someone whose life seems to be saturated by the Word. I've had the pleasure of encountering people whose lives were well steeped in Scripture. When my missions professor, Dr. J. Christy Wilson, struggled to hold back tears about his desire to see the Afghan people among whom he did pioneering mission work, to hear and respond with faith to the gospel, I couldn't help but choke back tears of my own. When I think of Harold Smith, a farmer and retired Ford engineer in the church where I served in Metro Detroit. How his kindness, patience, and generosity were like jewels in a crown glittering with better Bible knowledge than most seminarians and professors that I knew. I'm grateful to have known such a wonderful man. These are just a few people that I had the chance to know whose lives displayed a love of Scripture because of the holy character that God's Word produced in them. Hopefully you too know people with a similar commitment to the Bible who has a lifestyle that backs it up. I know that it's a goal that I strive for, however successfully or haltingly, in my everyday life. Lent is a glorious season as we take time to examine our hearts and our lives in the light of the Bible. We can ask ourselves where we really stand. Do I really cherish God's Word? Am I truly convicted by it? Am I truly convinced it has the power to teach me how to love Jesus and those whom He loves? How does my practice of Bible reading stack up? In what ways does my own life reflect the justifying and sanctifying work of the Spirit that can only come through a Scripture-soaked lifestyle? Does my own life reveal how much I value the Bible and live according to Christ's law of love? In extolling the glories and virtues of knowing God's written revelation, the psalmist doesn't tell us how to read the Bible. He doesn't give his students a study guide or a daily reading plan. He doesn't even give us rules of thumb about how best to read the various types of literature that compose Scripture beyond simply reading it and reflecting on it. But He does stir the hearts of those who read His words to fall in love with Scripture. He does His best to poke the coals of God's love already present in His students, and He admonishes them to store up God's Word in their hearts like the priceless treasure it is. Perhaps He believes that even if someone misinterprets a passage, if they approach the Bible with a heart that adores our Lord and esteems His words as something of supreme worth, the Holy Spirit will do the work of correcting us in due time. And since all Scripture points us to Jesus, I can only imagine that a love for the Bible will translate naturally to a love for our crucified and risen Savior this coming Holy Week. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which You have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.